This is the SB Live Washington podcast, your home for coverage of high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with SB Live. And with me is my partner in crime, a man of many hats and a senior reporter, as well as the prodigal son of Tacoma, Todd Millis. Todd, how we doing?
Well, also your partner that's old enough that to remember when this 2A classification was created to go to six classifications, which seems like it's probably reaching about 20 to 25 years. But we've had some of the most dominant teams at any classification that have come through 2A. If you think about what Hawkinson had done, Archbishop Murphy has done, and then Tumwater's been in pretty much every classification you could ever think of, and right now kind of the top team in 2A.
Yeah, to continue with our theme of breaking down each classification across the state as we head into the football season, you know, we're looking for the first time in 2 years at a full high school football season. And, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic upended the 2020 season. It postponed it to the spring. Teams played shortened seasons without any state playoffs. And all that is in the past now. So here we're bringing you episodic breakdowns of SB Live's top 10 rankings across each classification. This episode is going to focus on the 2A classification. And these rankings, as well as all of our work, can be found at scorebooklive.com/Washington and on the SB Live Sports app, which you can download for free. You can find our top 10 classification rankings here. I've linked them in the show notes, and I highly recommend doing so. You've got breakdowns of each of those top 10 teams. But Todd, we're here today to talk about this 2A landscape. As you started to talk to coaches across this state, you know, I know, you know, that list runs long, and our research stretches back a couple months, you know, of course, even into covering last season. But what's your general feeling about the classification once you got into the research?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to knock Tumwater off that perch, given what they've accomplished and how dominant they've been the past couple years, Andy. But honestly, here in the off season and you know, scrimmages and passing camps can give you signs and signals. And I think right now the gap between Tumwater and the rest of the field is not as wide as it's been in the past two seasons. I mean, when you have a dominant unit like what the Thunderbirds had on the defensive line the past 2 years, led by Jacob Schuster, who we now know is at Minnesota, and a quarterback that was just perennially underrated in Cody Whalen, as a guy who could not only run the wing T offense, but he was a really good passer. The T-Birds were nearly unbeatable with that combination. And while other the perennial contenders this fall, such as Linden, Prosser, and even recently Steilacoom, who was in the state championship game in 2019, they all have their holes or maybe question marks. There is still a great deal of optimism among those teams, maybe chasing down Tumwater if they get a few breaks as the season progresses.
So that's the million-dollar question here, Todd. As we look at the 2A landscape, is you have, you know, defending 2A state champs Tumwater, who had another dominant spring this year, you know, continuing to assert themselves atop that classification. Of course, the last time we held state championships, Steilacoom had its best team in school history by a long shot, including five-star athlete Emeka Egbuka, you know, Western Kentucky-bound quarterback Chance McDonald, and even everything that Steilacoom team had to offer wasn't enough to beat this Tumwater team. This year in 2021, as you say, the field might be leveled out a little bit, even with Tumwater starting at one. How vulnerable is this Tumwater team, and what teams do you see as potentially challenging?
Say fairly vulnerable. I wouldn't say it's a likelihood. I mean, I'm still not betting against them. They still have Ryan Otten and Austin Terry, who are two big, fast Division I athletes to still anchor that really, you know, that defensive line that we've all grown to know. And they're also going to be counted on to make sort of, you know, a lot of plays in the pass game as sort of two in the two tight end sets in that wing T. But with the quarterback position being such a question mark, I mean, we, you know, Alex Overbay wasn't even with the team at all this summer after he suffered a thumb injury during baseball. And with Luke Reed and Brady Prothero, you know, guys that sort of have similar skill sets that are more placeholders than anything. And also, you know, you have to look at this, the overall lack of speed that they, you know, or maybe not as much speed as they've had in the skill position. Let's just say this is a team that on paper right now isn't as formidable as it's been the past 2 years. I mean, and that's good news for some of these teams that return a lot, like a Lakewood up north in Arlington. You know, even a North Kitsap that's never really been in this position before, but has one of the really, really good all-around players in Colton Bauer. And like I said, you know, Linden's, even though that they've still got some things to figure out, and Prosser the same way and Stilcom, you know, they're really high on their talent. So, yeah, I'm not betting against Tumwater, but the vulnerability is there. And it's going to be very interesting to see if somebody can take advantage of that.
Well, I want to get into some of those teams you just mentioned. And I'm going to start with the team that I had the chance to first see play. And it's, you know, and that player, Colton Bauer, you mentioned, 2 years ago in a district game against Fife. North Kitsap has been a very good team in recent years. They have not been a team, though, that has reached that final precipice, that has reached a state semifinal. So why do you like North Kitsap at number three?
Yeah, I know a lot of people are going to think that's sort of a gamble. That's maybe a bit too high for a team that, like you mentioned, Andy, has not been, you know, even as far as the state semifinals in school history. It's a team that comes out of the Olympic League that's not been a strong league and will be considerably weaker this year. But you mentioned a guy that I think we're going to really see as a true all-state breakout player. And he's been on our all-state teams before as a linebacker. But Colton Bauer, they've kind of gone away from the wing tee and they're running more of a spread offense just to accentuate this guy's talent. He's one of the few guys in 2A right now, Andy, that and I'll touch on some of their really good skill position players later, but say you get them in third and 20 or fourth and 15. This is a guy that can still turn nothing into something. And I like that guy. I like having a guy that when everything else breaks down, you can turn to and say, go make a play, and he can do it. And he's shown that he can do it over and over. Now, he's not the only guy that's you know, he's running the show, but there are other guys that should be mentioned. He's got a couple really good slot receivers. I got a chance to watch them at the Lakewood passing tournament. Lincoln Castillo and Logan Sloman, they're going to really take advantage of them, moving them all around the field. Watch those two guys have pretty big years. But again, this is a team that's going to revolve a lot around Colton and a team that returns a lot of guys. I think it's 17 starters total, including the bulk of their front seven. And then obviously Colton Bauer is in the back end right now at safety to kind of anchor that defense. It's funny, Andy, being up at the Lakewood passing tournament here a few weeks ago, a lot of 4A and 3A schools, and just kind of chatting with coaches. You know, I said, hey, what do you think of some of the teams here? And the one school that was mentioned a lot was from these 4A and 3A schools is, you know, I kind of see this North Kitsap team as a sleeper. My translation of that is this is a state contender, 2A, if they're hanging with 3A and 4A schools. And I watched them give Bothell, the Kinko champs, all they could handle. Again, 7-on-7. I don't want to say it's, you know, life or death, but they don't have watching that 2A team from Paul's Bow out in the West Sound go up against Bothell and all that team speed. They didn't look out of place. They looked like they could just hang. They had plenty of speed, plenty of athletes, plenty of experience, plenty of guys that know football and played them really, really well in that particular passing tournament. This is a team that I'm really, really excited about, Andy. A team that not usually this highly ranked, especially in the preseason, but full of promise and led by a guy that I think could easily be an all-state MVP.
You know, North Kitsap's the first team at number three that stands out to me in these rankings, Todd. But I want to get into two more teams before we jump to state players of the year candidates. The second team I want to talk about, I guess the third team, since we, you know, led off with Tumwater, is your team that comes in at number two, and that's the group that hosts that great 7-on-7 passing event every summer, and that's the Lakewood Cougars. You have them at number two, and that's higher than Lakewood's been in recent memory. What do you like about Dan Teeter's squad this year?
And that's saying a lot, Andy. I mean, that Northwest District with Archbishop Murphy, perennial state champion, state contender Linden, a Squalicum team that had come down from 3A to 2A here a couple years ago. You know, for Lakewood to kind of be the front runner in that district, it's all predicated on one thing, and they are big. They are, and it's led by Jacobus Seth, a Wazoo commit. He's probably going to play offensive tackle for the Cougars. So you look at their size, and I got the chance to see them at their own passing tournament. I mean, Eric Hernandez is impressive. They have a tight end in Andrew Malloy, who's a big guy that they're going to prominently feature in the pass game. And if Justice Taylor, their quarterback, who's also pretty big, continues to really evolve as a passer, we all know he can run. He's got a couple guys on the outside, you know, a guy that you probably know from the basketball side of things in Blake Conyers, probably their best basketball player.
Yep.
Andy, he's really going to step into a big time role on the outside. And then Dylan Matthews, who Dan Teeter's really, really high on to have a big year. It's a team that returns a lot, is bubbling with optimism. Dan Teeter doesn't really understate or overstate too many things. He's really, really excited about the outlook of this Cougar squad heading into 2021.
You mentioned Lakewood, a team that, you know, could compete for a state championship this year. We talked about North Kitsap, another team that's going to be in that picture. A team that has been in that picture over the last couple of years, winning two straight state championships just a couple of years ago. Hawkinson comes in at number seven. It's not hard to believe that this team continues this run. Winning their league last year in the spring and their localized schedule. But Hawkinson at seven, Todd, given what they've accomplished in these last 4 years, you know, they finished the spring at seven overall. Did a part of you feel like that seven was too low? Is this a team you see making a run?
Yeah, I look at given what they've accomplished, given how dominant they've been recently, given the fact they've won so many league championships in a row, I look at them at number seven and go, God, is the author just off the rocker here? I mean, geez, Louise. I mean, this is a team that I think definitely will perform higher. I say that I could have ranked them higher, but I chose to rank them at seven. I expect them to perform higher. I expect them to be factors in November and maybe December. You know, they're kind of really ready to get on another peak run. Maybe not as high as maybe a few years ago with the Racanellis and that group. But they've got some real weapons and experience. You look at Andre Northrup, a guy that, you know, Andy, down there in Southwest Washington. He's an all-league receiver. He's a returner, a great safety, a real playmaker for them. Kenyon Johnson, a tight end, who's going to probably become a pretty big target in the pass game. And then Tyler Lytle, a guy that, you know, he's kind of a hybrid kid. Will play a little bit of receiver, a little bit of running back, maybe as good an athlete as they're going to have on the offensive side of the ball. I think the reason I have them at seven and not higher is I like to see a little more out of their quarterback, and he's certainly got the arm talent. We know that. His name's Jared Oldham. He's a really good baseball player down there. It was just sort of up and down. You know, could make some throws for Josh Racanelli in Josh Racanelli's offense that you just kind of go, wow. And then there were some inconsistencies. And, you know, I think in year two, if he makes that jump in terms of being more consistent, understanding what the Hawks want him to do, and being able to get the football out to some of those weapons I talked about earlier, man, I tell you, they've got the experience, they've got the pedigree. Hockenson at seven, yes, it very well could haunt me here in a couple of months, and I know the Hawks would love the opportunity to kind of show me that I was wrong.
Well, and Todd, I covered those runs closely, those two state title runs with the Hawks, and you know, I think a name that hasn't been mentioned yet that should factor into this group going forward is, you know, head coach Rick Steele retired at the end of last year, and he promoted the Hockenson School District, promoted from within. They hired Clint LeCount, the defensive coordinator, as their next head coach. And the Hawks made, you know, I think maybe their biggest move of the offseason was bringing Josh Racanelli back as offensive coordinator under Clint LeCount, because the offense of that team, I mean, he was the maestro behind those teams that had his two kids, Sawyer and Cannon Racanelli, two of his kids, Sawyer and Cannon Racanelli, in the past. But now this is a new era for the Hawks. They certainly have the athletes to continue to compete at the statewide level. They're on a recent string of success. But that 2A Greater St. Helens League, Todd, you know, Richfield is you know, chomping at the bit to take that throne. And Hockenson really gutted out a win over them in the spring. And so I expect Richfield to be in that picture as well. So it's been Hockenson's league for a long time. I think they're going to have, as usual, a target on their backs this spring, and we'll see how it factors in on a statewide landscape. But I do appreciate that perspective. As we take a step back and look at the state, we've talked about teams. I want to talk about players now. The last time we had state players of the year at the 2A level, there was a pretty special guy who won that award, and that was Emeka Egbuka, a 5-star from Steilacoom, wide receiver, athlete. He's at Ohio State now, already making an impact. I'm not sure there's an Emeka Egbuka, a runaway favorite in this preseason to win state player of the year, but who are a couple of names you're looking at heading into the season?
Yeah, I mean, I talked a lot about Colton Bauer. I think he's probably the leading candidate. Given the fact that the football is going to be in his hands a lot. Chris Richardson says he would not be surprised with a 15-15 or a 2000-1000 type season, a lot like what we talked about with Jackson Essery in a previous podcast, the 2B ranks. He's that kind of player. But a guy I'd like to highlight is also at Steilacoom, was Emeka's teammate, was probably maybe the third or fourth number four receiver heading into last spring. But that's Cole Miller, a very speedy wide receiver who's going to see his role expand greatly, especially, you know, in the face of all the graduation losses, including Chance McDonald at quarterback. You're going to see Cole Miller play some quarterback. They want to utilize that speed, as a dual threat with him. And he could also still line up at wide receiver. We saw him, you know, go for 100 yards and two long catches last season in a regular season game at Tumwater in a loss. He's really, really fast, Andy. I'd like to see Cole Miller race against some of those past standout receivers that Steilacoom's had. I wouldn't bet against him. But if they can get Caleb Kreider, a quarterback transfer who played at River Ridge and then was at Cascade Christian, if he can give them some stability as a pocket passer and they can kind of move Cole Miller around in that offense, we could be seeing one of the more competitive slash type players in 2A. I'm really excited about him. Maybe a name that many people don't know about, but I think we'll know about by the end of the season.
Yeah, no question. Cole Miller, I saw those guys play in Tumwater team camp. And, Kreider was taking most of the snaps. But when you have a guy like Cole Miller out wide, you're just going to want the ball in his hands, Todd. And so whether Kreider's getting it to him or he's getting it snapped to himself, that's, you know, a name to look out for. So if you would like to read a full breakdown of this top 10, as I mentioned at the top, you can find that in the show notes. It's on the website, scorebooklive.com/Washington. We appreciate you listening. I'm on Twitter at Andy Bueller. He's at Many Hats Millis. You can follow along with us as we continue the lead up to the 2021 fall high school football season at SB Live WAH on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. The song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.